Welcome to the Sports Resort, your home for all things sports, with your hosts G Money,
Tay,
Padre T,
and Connor. Let's get to it. And welcome to a spooky edition of the Sports Resort. This is still your home for all things sports. I'm your host, Batman, along with the Grinch, along with, I forget your name, Toby, but he's all part of the Naruto family. Welcome to another edition. Love having you guys on. We have added a host from last time, and we are here to bring you guys all the action from NFL in Week 7. What an entertaining week it was. One of our members was full in action, actually went to a game. I have to talk about that a little later. But, fellas, how are we doing as we are now almost to the halfway point of the season? Not quite yet.
Well, something I thought that I would be able to say after our 3-0 start, we got the same record as the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's been bad. It's been pretty bad so far this year. I did not think the Patriots would have the same record as the Chiefs at this point. And if they did, I would have been very happy for the Patriots. And instead, I'm very sad.
Just on both accounts. Sad all around. Dang.
Yeah. It's been a rough go. There's a reason that the fourth member is not here right now.
I was going to have to send an APB out for him last weekend.
Yeah, we knew he wasn't showing up on this episode. I knew that, so. You know,
I'm doing great. Things are great for now.
Yeah.
For now.
What a difference 2 weeks make.
It does, doesn't it? I was sitting here thinking, how the heck did my squad lose to the Jets? And now here we are.
Hey, we beat them.
Yes, you did.
Yes, haven't beat anybody since, but we beat them.
Yeah, I don't know who else you would, but all right. Well, yeah, no, we'll talk about them in just a minute. But we do have to get to Monte's team, starting off with Thursday night football between the Cleveland Browns and the Denver Broncos. A Baker Mayfield-less Cleveland Browns, I might add in there. Case Keenum taking over the job. Browns getting the victory 17-14 over your Broncos.
Well, it was a very disheartening game. We've now lost 4 in a row. Teddy Bridgewater threw what I was hoping would have been his last pass as a Bronco for the season. That deep ball that he threw was a noodle, and the safety just picked it off. I'm surprised they didn't run it back on us. The Browns literally ran all over us with their third string running back, and Case Keenum basically looked like the second coming of Patrick Mahomes out there throwing the ball against us. So I tweeted it out the day before. I tweeted it out today. And I'm probably going to tweet it out tomorrow. But pretty sure ready to fire everybody. Just clean house. I'll go to Denver and start packing people's bags for them if that's what they need. If they need some help. Because although we're sitting at 3-4, we haven't beat anybody, in my opinion, as a fan. And Teddy Bridgewater has basically shown us what he is. So let's just go ahead and roll Drew Locke out there and see what he can do for the last end of the season. And then we can decide we're not going to keep either one of them and put us fans out of our misery. Browns, on the other hand, y'all looking pretty nice. Y'all can clearly run the ball because we're supposed to be a team that can stop the run. And we couldn't stop a nosebleed last weekend, if you ask me.
It's got to hurt a little bit knowing that there were still Justin Fields and Mac Jones on the board when Patrick Surtain was taken.
Yes, and it hurts even more if we don't sell the house and basically let Aaron Rodgers pick where he wants to, like, practice and live and basically change the whole organization name and color to bring him in the offseason. Like, if we pass on every quarterback and then – I don't know what's going on with Deshaun Watson, but then we just sit and don't offer Aaron Rodgers everything that the Packers want. It's pointless. Because then we're waiting 2 seasons to drop the quarterback. Because if we take one next year, I'll probably jump off Arrowhead Stadium.
I'm dead. That's hilarious.
But this leads us. I mean, Broncos got Washington football team next weekend or this weekend. So that should be a winnable game. And the Browns go off to, and they play Pittsburgh. So these teams looking to start the weekend, 1-0 again and keep the record going. But that moves us, speaking of Washington, that moves us to their game against the Green Bay Packers and the future Denver Bronco himself, Aaron Rodgers.
My main man getting the dub, 24-10, real light work. Washington, I mean, they obviously have a really good defense. They haven't been showing it the last couple of weeks or so, but they showed up. Defensive line was getting after it. They got after Aaron Rodgers just a little bit, but in the end was not enough. Their offense could not keep up. They've had some real unfortunate mishaps in the red zone when they had some opportunities to possibly catch up to the Green Bay Packers. But in the end, Aaron Rodgers having one of the best, I think, individual plays of the season, finding Devontae Adams for a touchdown. And then Alan Lazard had an entire drive where I think he caught, I think, every single pass that ended up leading to an Alan Lazard touchdown. Now, consequently, Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard are out for their upcoming matchup against Arizona on Thursday. That's just Aaron Rodgers' luck. So he's going to have to find new weapons. But for right now, 6-1 record for the Packers. They're riding high. But I think that their winning streak since week one is going to come to an end. And speaking of winning streaks, heading over into the Music City where my squad was playing, and I was there live in action, the Tennessee Titans taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Titans winning that one 27-3. Lots of Kansas City heads there, I have to say. It was kind of sad. I mean, it was nice for my city that we travel, but pretty sad by Nashville. Why was there so much red there? Not a good look. But in the end, Tennessee gets a victory there.
It's too early of a kickoff. Everybody was hungover from Saturday night.
Yes, they were.
Yeah, I assume the Chiefs were also hungover. Or at least you'd wish to explain it away like that. We'll start with the good, which was anyone who was in Titan blue. A.J. Brown, he looked like him old self, like his old self. Derrick Henry, he didn't run for 120 yards like everybody thought he would, but he threw a touchdown pass. You know, he got picked up the third downs on third and short like you knew he would. So just another day in the office for Mr. Henry. And then the Tennessee defense, much maligned, couldn't get very many stops against Buffalo. Haven't been very good all season. Looked like world beaters. I mean, Rashawn Evans, he played a phenomenal game. Danico Autry, unbelievable. Unbelievable, just getting pressure all day on an offensive line from Kansas City that up to this point had been pretty solid. Just some great individual efforts on Tennessee. And on the Chiefs side, but really no great individual efforts. Maybe no effort at all. I mean, it was a pathetic, just all-around performance. Patrick Mahomes, he's trying to do too much. He's taking these 10-yard dropbacks. So the offensive line's put in bad positions. And a lot of the stuff that I think was masked last year by having Mitchell Schwartz, Eric Fisher, along the offensive line guys, the new Pat Mahomes, is getting exposed now. And Mahomes, it looks like he's back at Texas Tech based on the way he's playing. I mean, this is what we saw him do in college, you know, where he's going to give you some plays, but he's also going to make a lot of mistakes because – you know, the style of play. And then, of course, the Chiefs defense. You can go on and on about the Chiefs defense. And it's painful to talk about as a Chiefs fan. It sucks. All the expectations were there. They're 3-4. So I'm going to leave it with one lone bright spot. Nick Bolton, I don't think, lost a one-on-one against Henry. And I don't think he lost a one-on-one all game. If you're looking for one bright spot, Nick Bolton's run defense is the lone bright spot. And I say run defense because don't look at the coverage from Nick Bolton. And I think we'll be all right. Literally maybe one bright spot. You get the Giants on Monday Night Football. And if you play an at-home Monday night against a 2-5 team, does it get your mojo going at least a little bit, then nothing will this season. So this is a must win in week 8 for the Chiefs this upcoming Monday night. And for the Titans, of course, this game is a win for them next week if they beat the Colts, where you feel unbelievably comfortable in the division. They already should, but you just feel so unbelievably comfortable if you took essentially a 4-game lead in the division this early in the season. So we're looking forward to that next week for both teams. I know Gannon, of course, is. People who should be looking forward to new things. The Miami Dolphins, words out that Deshaun Watson could potentially be coming to Miami. And they need him because they played the Atlanta Falcons and lost at home for their 6th consecutive loss, 30-28. Younghoe Koo, the game-winning field goal at the end of the game. The old kicker was tripping, but this Younghoe Koo for the Falcons, he gets the job done and the win. Kyle Pitts, a phenomenal day, looking like the 4th overall pick. I mean, we knew it would come at some point. Great day by him. The Falcons, they're a 500 football team. Monte, take it away. The Falcons, 500. Better than the Chiefs, the Broncos, all of our teams. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I don't think I would have expected this by the beginning of the season, but Matt Ryan did say a couple seasons ago he's the best quarterback in that division. So he's, 500. He got a little bit of work to do, but he's trying to shut his haters up. I was a hater. Keep doing your thing, Matt Ryan. But, Miami, they need all kinds of help. I think trading for Deshaun Watson is the right thing to do, but I think it's the wrong thing to do in terms of they're not a contender. Like, they're not, like, what, like, getting him isn't, it pushes the offense over the edge, but you still have a lot of other holes on that team to fix. Falcons, I mean, Kyle Pitts is, he being Kyle Pitts, bro, that is, a man is, when he wants to, like, get out and get separation and get in a route, he is literally unguardable. Like, they're, like, it's just unfair. Now, granted, he's got Matt Ryan throwing the ball to him, so it's kind of fair because you never know where it's going to go, considering he only threw 2 touchdowns, had a pick, and he fumbled. Cordell Patterson doing his thing, carrying my fantasy football team in several leagues. Yes, so I appreciate that man all he wants to. Falcons leading. They got Carolina Panthers next week, which that'll be an interesting game of a 500 team and a below 500 team. And the Dolphins travel to Buffalo. So if you don't have to watch that game this weekend, don't do it, because take the over and the spread. That leads us to another team that you should have took the over and the spread on this week. The New England Patriots finally figured out how to play offense this week. Granted, it's against the Jets. Some of our teams beat them. Some of other teams didn't. But leading on.
No comment. No comment on that part. But all the praise in the world to the New England Patriots. I mean, Mac Jones throwing for over 300 yards, 2 scores, 111 passer rating. I mean, what more can you ask for from your rookie quarterback when he's going head-to-head up against another rookie quarterback? Who threw for a total, now granted he did get injured, but threw for a total of 51 yards. Not going to get it done. I mean, the Jets are just pitiful. They got their win. Yep, they got my team. They caught us sleeping. We also had half our offense out, but that's still no excuse. We lost nonetheless. They're working on that being their only win of the season. I mean, they just traded for Joe Flacco. I mean, come on. This is what we're resorting to. Joe Flacco, who's can't even replace Jalen Hurts, who looks like a shell of himself right now with the Eagles. So, the Jets are pitiful. The Patriots are trending up. I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, they're 3-4. The AFC is wide open still for that. I think that, like, 5, 6, and 7 slot, anybody can get that right now. I think the division leaders, right now, the Bills and the Titans have a pretty strong hold on their division.
Chargers, too.
Obviously, well, technically the Raiders lead that division. That's why I was going to say the AFC West, because I was thinking the Chargers, too. but I forgot, or I was thinking the Raiders, but I forgot the Chargers actually ended up beating the Raiders. So the AFC West is still anyone's game. The AFC North, my goodness, what can you say about Cincinnati? But I still think that New England can have a way, find their way in if they can string along some wins. They're gonna have to beat Buffalo, or they're gonna have to beat some of these harder teams if they really actually want to get in. They've played some tough teams close, the Bucks, the Dallas Cowboys, but they haven't got wins, so they're gonna have to get some wins for some tough teams that actually want to make the playoffs. But definitely doable, I think. And what better way than their next week opponent, the Los Angeles Chargers? We're just speaking of, that's a way to kind of flip your season right there, get back to 500, beating a team that is currently tied in the lead for the AFC West. So that'll be interesting to see how the Patriots and the Chargers play that game out. And then a team that's just been just rock bottom since week four, the Carolina Panthers, just getting absolutely shellacked by the New York Giants, 25-3. A pair of teams are just terrible. They just both stink. They just both are bad. Carolina's worse.
It's hard to argue after the showing that they put up. The Giants defense has some solid names on it. I like Ojulari. He's been a great second-round draft steal by the Giants. Leads all rookies in sacks this year. Added 2.5 more, actually, against Sam Darnold and the Panthers. But to not score a touchdown against the Giants, a team with one win, you don't score a touchdown against them? And we were heaping praise on Sam Darnold. Remember the 3-0 start? We heaped all this praise on Sam Darnold. We kind of got to backtrack it now. You know, there's no CMC to take any of the load off anymore. But he's still got DJ Moore. He's still got Robbie Anderson. There's still guys to throw the football to. It's not like Sam Darnold's out there completely helpless without McCaffrey. But now you have to wonder, is Darnold actually any better than he was in New York? I mean, it's a question you've got to ask. This 111 yards against this Giants defense. I grant you, Bradbury, very good corner. Peppers and Logan Ryan, quality safeties. 111 passing yards in a game where you're trailing the entirety of the game is horrible. It's really bad. And we've given Monte enough stuff about his team going from 3-0 to 3-4 real quick. The Panthers, I think, have done it in a similarly embarrassing fashion. Maybe worse. And
they've played worse teams than the Broncos have last
week. I was going to say, and they've lost them all. Beat by a lot worse. We at least try and keep it close at the end.
Yeah, they're showing up. They're showing up pretty sad to these contests the last 4 weeks. They'll travel to Atlanta this week. You know, try to get level with the Falcons. I mean, that's what we're talking about right here for the Panthers, getting level with the Falcons. Of course, the Giants, they come to town next week here in KC. And my goodness, if the Giants beat the Chiefs, I don't know what to say.
They do have a chance.
This season's a wrap.
Yeah, you probably won't see me on the podcast next week if that happens. No, I'm not going to make that promise. I'll be here. But, yeah, Giants, they get the win for what it's worth. Moves them to tied for a second with every other NFC East team that's complete garbage behind the Cowboys. And now to talk about good football teams. The Cincinnati Bengals traveled to Baltimore this weekend. It was a highly anticipated matchup. We were kind of wanting to see if the Bengals were real. Everybody thought the Ravens were real. The Bengals are for real. 41-17 win in Baltimore. Jamar Chase, over 200 yards on Marlon Humphrey's head. One of the best corners in the league. Whew. Cincinnati, man. I didn't think they would have – no chance in hell, I thought, at any point this year, let alone week 7, they'd be leading the division. They've got the lead in the division.
The entire conference.
The entire AFC.
Because they have not lost an AFC game yet.
They have not.
They're number one in the AFC right now.
Yeah.
So I mean, we knew Baltimore was going to lose a game with how close they had been playing. But I didn't see them getting beat like this, man. Like this might set a new trend. This might set a new trend of, you know, you draft a quarterback, you go get his favorite receiver from college, because, oh my God, that Burrow to Chase connection is, that's something else, bro. That it is they thrown over everybody. And I thought it was just, you know, a couple teams, you know, it was a good thing that, you know, might fizzle out. We've seen some quarterback receiver duos get hot and then, you know, kind of tail off once a team figures them out. But every week he got at least a touchdown in 100 yards. I mean, this week, 8 catches, 201 yards, and a touchdown. Joe Burrow went for 416, 3 TD. I mean, he threw a pick, but, I mean, that's standard. You're going to give up those every now and then. But 416 yards on the Ravens defense, they smoked him. And, I mean, Lamar Jackson wasn't even in the game for the fourth quarter. They threw the white flag out there. They're trying to regroup the troops. I mean, Ravens, for all intents and purposes, I see the Ravens winning that matchup next time they play. But it's definitely keeping football interesting because, I mean, you got tiebreakers all over the place now for playoff spots. And, I mean, 7 teams getting in is cool and all, but you might be looking at a loss in week 2, 3, or 4 that keeps you out of the playoffs because you wasn't on your game. And I, for all intents and purposes, expect the Ravens to be in the playoffs. But, I mean, now you're looking at – now you're starting to look around the league and you start looking at where potential playoff spots for teams are going to fall. And we thought the AFC West was going to be the bloodbath and possibly sneak 3 teams in. But at the way it's going, man, it's going to be – some really good teams watching football like us after when the playoffs start.
For sure.
But, I mean, that's football. That's how that works. That's why they get paid money to go out there and do all what they do. The Ravens are on a bye, which I think is very good for them. They've had – first off, they got every injury possible. Like, every injury possible. And the Bengals – traveled to New York, so again, if you ain't got to watch that game, you don't, because you won't be missing anything. A game that, I mean, I feel like everybody was going to tune into to see what was going to happen was the Eagles and the Raiders. You know, the Raiders played Broncos last week, not really the toughest challenge when you lose your head coach middle of the season, but you know, the Eagles supposed to be a little bit better than us, depends on who you ask. Some people disagree with that in the group chat. But Raiders won 33-22. Eagles trying to collect all the top 10 draft picks that they can by continuing this losing streak that they got going on. So, yeah, take that one away, G.
It Jalen Hurts to watch this team. The Eagles are horrible. They are so bad. I do get part of it. The offensive line is old. They have some good team. They have good guys on the offensive line, but they're older. They're getting up there in age, and they can't stay healthy half the time. Jalen Hurts, yet again, completed another game where he completes under 60% of his passes, which I like the guy, but I was saying this last year when everyone's heaping his praise because the Eagles were going from losing by 30 to losing by 20. When they switched from Carson Wentz to Jalen Hurts, I'm like, well, the Eagles are still losing. They did have that one game where he went off on the Saints. And after that, they didn't win another game. He still was not completing a high percentage. He's still not doing it. And now they got rid of Zach Ertz. Don't really get that part. Get rid of a guy who definitely still could help contribute to this team. But I guess they want him to go win another ring somewhere else because I don't know what that was about. But you're lessening the weapons you can throw to. You don't run the ball. You don't trust your running game at all, which I don't understand because Miles Sanders is very good. Then you actually start to run the ball and Miles Sanders gets hurt. So the Eagles are just not a good football team. The Raiders, on the other hand, are a very good football team. And it's so hard because they always collapse. Somehow, somewhere, the Raiders collapse somewhere. And maybe it's just still too early in the season, but right now they do not look like a team that's going to collapse. They look very, very good. Derek Carr, I'm going to just say it. Right now, Derek Carr looks better than Patrick Mahomes. There, I said it. Derek Carr is playing some ball. He's being very careful with the football. He's slinging it all over the place. I don't know what you want from this man. This dude is This dude every week is showing up, gets different receivers involved, guys that would definitely not be playing on every NFL roster. Hunter Renfro, don't think he'd be playing on most teams' starting offense or wide receivers. Where Hunter Renfro's out there consistent every week. They didn't even have Darren Waller this week, his number one target. Went in there, got a new tight end, as if they didn't skip a beat. I mean, Foster Moreau, look, they look good. So the Raiders, I mean, they're the real deal for now. We still have to see what they're looking like later on in the season because they have that inevitable collapse, just like the Dallas Cowboys do and will. But for right now, this is a different Raiders team than we're used to seeing, I think. Unfortunately, something that is not new, Jared Goff and his struggles and the Detroit Lions and sucking. The Lions took their talents to Los Angeles. LA's former quarterback, Jared Goff, going out to possibly try to get some revenge on his former team. That did not happen. Now, they did keep the game close, considering that they were a minus 18 going into the game, which is just unheard of for an NFL game. So to be already expected to lose by more than two touchdowns, by essentially three scores, is already insane. So the Lions kept it closer than the spread actually suggested, but still the Rams, way too much firepower.
Yeah, you knew it was inevitable. In the end, the Rams were going to win because the Rams took – when you take the best player off of a team, then you get to play that team the next year, and you have their old best player, and they already sucked. You're going to beat that team, right? Matthew Stafford, he looks like an MVP candidate. I've been heaping his praises all season. Again, three touchdown passes. Ho-hum day for him. Ho-hum day for Cooper Kupp again. Two touchdown performance. What a guy. What a stud. And the Lions, look, you're an 0-7 football team, so there's really no positives. You want me to spin it into a positive? I think they're 5-2 against the spread. They covered the spread. 5-2 against the spread. But
are not.
I mean, this was a team. You know, this was a team that the leading receiver in the game was Khalif Raymond. And if you don't know Khalif Raymond, you're probably like 98% of football fans. Because this man was, I think, the fourth or fifth receiver on the Titans.
Yeah.
The last time I heard about him, I think he caught a touchdown against the Ravens in the playoffs. People said, oh, you know, we know about Khalif Raymond now. And then just fell off the face of the earth there. Came
that was
back
his
and
last
of course,
catch for like 5 weeks after that.
yeah. And now he's Detroit's number one receiver. He's the go-to guy in Detroit. So painful, very painful to watch the Lions offense. I mean, they don't have the skill position guys to keep up. You know, DeAndre Swift and Hockenson can only do so much. But when you have to key in on two guys and if you play a defense that's like the Rams, you're not going to win very many football games. And that's where the Lions find themselves, is not winning any football games. Dan Campbell, he didn't cry in the post-game press conference this week. I think he's getting ready for Philadelphia, a winnable game for the Lions. If we're looking forward, trying to find one game, maybe they do it here against the Eagles. Am I going to pick the Lions? We'll see. I'm definitely not putting money on them. But we'll see. And meanwhile, the Los Angeles Rams streak playing poor football teams will continue. They travel to Houston to play the Texans, the only team in the league who might be worse than the Lions. And I expect another ho-hum three-touchdown day from Stafford, another ho-hum two-touchdown day from Kupp. And I expect the Rams to continue rolling. I mean, solid all-around football team, getting essentially two free bye weeks out of their way right now here in the middle of the season. So, and speaking of one of those bye weeks, as I was saying, the Houston Texans travel to Arizona, a homecoming for DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt of sorts. They didn't return back to Houston, but they got to face their old team. And let's just say that things were better for Watt and Hopkins than they were for the team that traded them away. The Arizona Cardinals, of course, winning 31-5. 5 points, you know, says a lot about the team, the situation they're in, and how the game transpired. And I will let Monte talk about this game, this 5-point outing from the Houston Texans.
Well, we can safely say there's not much good to talk about from the Texans. I mean, a touchdown? Like, not one? Like, y'all couldn't, y'all, like, they just won? Like, all right. I mean, again, J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins came back, and you see what the effect of literally trading them and letting them walk away for absolutely nothing has got your franchise. I mean, they're – I mean, I'm going to go on record and say that the Cardinals are probably – they should be at least a top three Super Bowl contender, at least odds-wise, because they are steamrolling everybody right now. And that's going to continue. I mean – I'm interested to see them play the Rams again. I'm not interested in seeing them play Seattle with, you know, Russell Wilson out. But they added Zach Ertz. He jumped right in, scored a touchdown in the team debut. So can't do nothing wrong with there. Why Philadelphia decided to give him up? Well, only the Eagles fans would know that there.
Or no, we don't.
Actually, they don't even know that. The ownership probably don't even know why they gave him up. Kyler Murray is doing this thing, trying to, I mean, this season I'd put him up there as an MVP candidate. I mean, him and Matt Ryan or not Matt Ryan, oh my Lord, him and Matthew Stafford, I think, are out there duking it out for the MVP and probably the leader of that division for the rest of the season, probably the NFC, honestly. Cardinals get a quick turnaround, though. They play the Packers, although it's not the matchup that we thought we were going to see at the beginning of the week. It's still going to be Aaron Rodgers, and you know he can go out there and make something happen. Whereas the Texans, well, they play the Rams. So, guys, listen. If you're listening to us, don't blame us. Blame the NFL schedule, because it's not a lot of good football to watch this weekend. Like, some of these matchups, they're just not appealing. I know people got fantasy football teams on a bye. Can't help you there. It's a ho-hum day if you got Cooper Kupp or Matthew Stafford, though, in those games. So, you know, keep rolling with them. But a team that shouldn't – well, I mean, they're not rolling. They're not doing nothing. They haven't been rolling. They won't ever get rolling. I mean, they got the Bulls, so maybe they're rolling in something. But the Bears got absolutely hammered by the Buccaneers. And the only person that got beat worse than the Bears on the field was the Bucs fan who gave back Tom Brady's football. But I'm going to let Gannon lead on to that because I think the man who gave the football back is an idiot.
He was fleeced. Absolutely fleeced. He should have asked for more. I'm telling you now, I said it. When Mike Evans goofed and gave up that football, I would have ran out of the stadium. I would have sprinted out. Everyone and their mother knew going into that game that Tom Brady was one touchdown away from 600. They talked about it all week. Going to the game was the biggest milestone ever. I don't know what Mike Evans was doing. Blooper of the year. And then that fan, bro. There's no way I'm sitting there. I'm sprinting out of that stadium. But nonetheless, he gave it back. And I think in the end, he got a decent haul for a guy. When they interviewed him, when they he wasn't even his tickets. His friend gave him a ticket.
I don't care. If they go to the Super Bowl anytime before I die, I need at least a ticket.
I would have asked for – he ended up getting season – originally that was not part of the deal. He ended up getting season tickets the rest of this year and next year. I would have asked for season tickets for the next, like, 5-6 years.
Until I die.
Yeah, maybe for a lifetime. That's what Shannon Sharp said, too. I would have said I'm guaranteed at least one Super Bowl ticket every year. If the Bucs make it any year with Tom Brady, I still would ask for the jerseys, the signed helmet, and I think the $1,000 for the gift shop is a little whack, considering I just went to an NFL gift shop last week and bought a $110 jacket. So we're talking after taxes.
That $1,000 is going to run out real fast.
We're talking 6-7 items, depending on what you buy in there. I think that's a little weak, if you ask me, but. In the end, but then of course you can't ever get the Bitcoin from Tom Brady himself. Don't know how big that guy is into that, but hey, you got a Bitcoin. How many people can say that when you got it from Tom Brady? So a guy who went to the game for free, who got to sit front row for free, and should have never been handed the ball, was gifted a football for free, walks out with all that. Can't be too mad, but
He could have had $1 million at least. He
could have had a lot more. But back onto the field, we're talking so much about this because the game was just nothing else. There was nothing else exciting about this unless you're a Bucs or Tom Brady fan. I mean, they just went out there and just poured it on the Bears. I mean, what a day for Mike Evans, 3 scores. Chris Godwin still over 100 yards. It's as if they didn't even miss Antonio Brown or Gronk. Just another day at the office of Tom Brady, who's not slowing down in any way. 211 yards, 4 touchdowns, no turnovers. I mean, Mike, this man is just different. So, yeah, no, just another day at the office for the Bucs, who have an intriguing matchup next week against the Saints. One of the better matchups next week. We have all these one-win teams playing. We at least get a nice divisional game. It's in New Orleans. You know, it's in the Superdome. Who knows? You know, you never know. The Saints beat the Bucs twice last year in the regular season, so that'll be an interesting game there. And then that leads us to Sunday Night Football, another team that's trending down, the San Francisco 49ers. What are they doing? They just lost 30-18 at home to the Indianapolis Colts. Out there making it look like Carson Wentz, making him have like a potential comeback player of the year with this performance. Now, I think that goes to Joe Burrow already, but based on how that they were making him look like the second coming of somebody.
Yeah, I mean, Wentz looks good. I saw a stat today. In the last 4 weeks, Carson Wentz has the highest passer rating in the NFL. Imagine telling an Eagles fan that last year. He'd have been excited. Oh, Carson Wentz, he's getting back to 2018 form. They're not so happy anymore, are they? Nope. No, sir. You see Gannon over there shaking his head.
Because I said it.
This was one of my favorite games to watch, maybe of the entire NFL season so far. The monsoons that came in made the football bad. This looked like middle school football, that you had to focus on the center quarterback exchange. The, you know, just handoffs. Elite focus, just to make sure you're not fumbling the ball in this absolute monsoon in San Francisco. Fun fact, the 4th wettest day in San Francisco history. Number one, of course, the Harry Styles concert in San Francisco. I'll tell you what though, the 49ers, they're on a 4-game losing streak. Things are looking extremely bleak for them. I know yesterday it didn't help. The conditions didn't help at all. If I was a fan, I would have a tough time liking Kyle Shanahan right now. I understand that Shanahan's a creative offensive mind. I know that he draws up a lot of plays that are unique. They seem to work, especially in the run game. Brandon Ayuk last year was sort of a breakout star. Deebo Samuel got hurt. Ayuk stepped in. He filled in well, played extremely well, and he was supposed to be a guy that had an even better sophomore year, built on a sophomore year. And essentially what's happened, as far as I can tell, is Deebo Samuel came back, and now they're doing all the same stuff for Deebo Samuel that they would have been doing, plays that last year went to Ayuk. They just refused to use Ayuk. When a guy goes down, and then you realize, oh, we have something else here, and we're going to get this guy back, you don't just completely abandon the guy that carried his weight last year. And that's what the 49ers have done. Ayuk cast aside another game where he had one target, made the catch on his one target. I have a tough time right now just wrapping my mind around Kyle Shanahan's personnel decisions, and it's whack to me. It's just whack. And the Colts, they took advantage. My bad. You had something?
No, I was going to say, I saw a stat after the week 7 games. I forget who the other three are, but it was like the top 5 players I saw that have ran at least 150 routes and have a less than 10% target rate. The number one is DeMarcus Robinson of the Chiefs. Number two is Brandon Ayuk. They are just out there running 150 plus routes, less than 10% targets on those routes. Them boys are out there just to get exercise.
That's good cardio, baby.
Yeah. I mean, you could see it just in target numbers yesterday. I mean, Charlie Warner, the 3rd-string tight end for the 49ers, got 2 targets. Ayuk got 1. Samuel had 11. Ayuk had 1. You're just not going to win like that. The Colts, I'm happy for them. They seem to have figured out their recipe, which is give the ball to Jonathan Taylor and prevent Carson Wentz from making game-losing mistakes. They found a number one receiver. They found a great running back. And it's great for me that I could go off that week and transition that right into the Saints game, because I'm proud to announce that I made a trade in fantasy where I got Alvin Kamara for Jonathan Taylor, the Colts running back. A hell of a trade by me. I'm a Kamara owner. And the New Orleans Saints, they picked up the win.
No, time out.
Who did that?
Who did what?
My friend's a Colts fan. Shout out KB.
Oh, my. Is that in the all in?
Oh, my God.
What? No, sir.
Is that in our league?
All right. No, this is in a different league.
Oh, right. God. I did not know that.
This one's a different league. I was very excited to see that. I woke up to that today, a trade proposal would send me Alvin Kamara. And Alvin Kamara, he did his thing on Monday Night Football when all offense was lost. The Seahawks with Geno Smith, the Saints with Jameis Winston, who actually is their starting quarterback and should be playing better. When all offense was lost, Alvin Kamara, 50 rushing yards, but 10 catches for 128 receiving yards and a touchdown, leading the Saints to the 13-10 win in CenturyLink Field. Very uneventful game. I feel like I'm giving Monte a lot of these. But Monte, what did you see from this complete disaster of a game yesterday?
Yeah, no, this game was pretty bad.
I'm sorry, I'm going to answer for Monte. This was the most boring game of the weekend. I'd rather watch the 54-6 Patriots win. At least there's plays being made. I'm sorry to cut you off. That was by far the worst game of the – worst game of the week by far.
Continue. I mean, yeah. I was trying to be nice. Like, this is pretty terrible. I mean, this – you didn't even – like, Twitter wasn't even talking about the game. Like, this is the only game on Monday night. Usually – from about 7:30 to 10, like, you get everybody reaction because everybody's watching. And I don't think there was a single soul watching this game unless you had Alvin Kamara and you needed fantasy points. But I was the only person you was watching the game for, because I know I stopped tuning in because it was bad.
Yeah, I mean, Saints defense last night. That's the only reason why I watched the game. They got 2 sacks on the final drive, and I won my fantasy league by 1 point. Or fantasy game by 1 point. So
I mean, that's important.
That's the only reason why I was watching. That's it.
But yeah, unless you bet on the game, you had fantasy football players in it, or you were just dummy bored and didn't want to listen to your female partner talk to you, and you just need to preoccupy yourself, you stop watching this game at like halftime, because it's like, I don't know. I mean, the Seahawks without Russell Wilson are just terrible, like terrible. Absolutely.
You mind if I interject real quick, just one quick thought about this game? The NFC West coaches this year, we know McVay's good. If you had told me at the beginning of the year that not only would the Cardinals be first in the division, but Cliff Kingsbury would be clearly and obviously a better head coach than Pete Carroll and Kyle Shanahan at this point, I would not have believed you for a second. But Pete Carroll, who has a veteran backup, chose to run the ball at the teeth of the Saints defense repeatedly over and over again. And I don't know if it's just that little faith in Geno Smith or what it was, but there was no creativity. Shout out to Mario Davis for having the game of your life. But Pete Carroll made it so easy. And the Sunday and Monday night games just made me question just everything I thought I knew about these NFC West coaches.
Well, it gets worse, because the Seahawks travel to Jacksonville, and depending on who you got on your roster on that game, you may not watch that one. But the solid chance, I mean, Jackson pulled that one off.
Trevor Lawrence starting fantasy this week because Josh.
I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but it could happen. The Saints, I mean, they get the Buccaneers, and well, sorry. If you got Alvin Kamara, it'll be fun because you're going to be catching everything out the backfield, because it's going to be real ugly for Jameis Winston. But to backtrack a little bit, Michael Pittman Jr. for the Colts, dog, won me my fantasy football league. He had like 20. He had 20 points, and a monsoon was out there taking ankles, catching everything that came his way. We love it. Absolutely love it. And I'm kind of right on this prediction. I think I've said this to other people not here, but the Chiefs are on track to look like the Seahawks in the next couple seasons.
Yeah, we just hope Mahomes doesn't break his hand like Russell Wilson did, or break his fingers, rather.
Sammy Watkins was the glue that kept it all together. Sammy Watkins could get open in a phone booth.
The irony of that sentence, that Sammy Watkins stayed together, or was the thing that stuck the team together, when he himself couldn't glue himself back together.
And as always,
it's pretty impressive, but who knows? Maybe it is.
Yeah.
Well, why is Josh Gordon even a Chief at this point? I mean, they didn't even – what's he doing here?
But they signed him, so nobody else would. It's the same thing with Le'Veon Bell. They only signed those guys, I don't remember. Nobody else
was at the game. I don't even remember seeing him out there.
I don't know if he was. We watched it on TV. I didn't know if I heard his name called.
I know his name when calling the stadium. I don't remember him being out there. But, I don't know. The Chiefs got
the other teams that were looking at Josh Gordon were the Ravens and the Bills. The Chiefs signed him, so they would. Picture Josh Gordon on the Ravens or lining up across from Stephon Diggs on the Bills.
Yeah, that would be filthy. Even if he was just like 60% of his old self.
Even if they just said, go ball every time. Just go down there.
That'd be dope. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the Chiefs are doing, but to wrap up this week, we are going to very quickly give our top five, our power rankings as we exit week 7 and go into week 8. Last week, mine's going to look a lot different from last week. So, actually, I meant to write this down. If I remember correctly, I had the Ravens all the way up at my number 2. They're no longer even going to be in my top 5. So, my revised now, which I have it right here. My revised number 5 now. Number 1, Arizona. No reason to take them out of there. Number 2, I am moving the Rams back up. They have been very consistent. They look very, very good. Number 3, skyrocketing now. Not really skyrocketing, just moving up a spot for me, are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I actually think I had them at 4, so they're now at 3. At 5, last week I had the Dallas Cowboys. They didn't even play, so I'm not moving them nowhere. They're going to stay right where they're at. I would like to move the Green Bay Packers up to 4. Now they're injured, and I already feel like they're going to get beat, so I'm not even going to put them in my top 5 because I expect them to lose by at least 14 points in 2 days. So I'm going to show a little bias. I'm going with the Tennessee Titans. When you beat the top 2 teams coming in to this in the AFC coming to this season in the span of 6 days, one of them you win in a shootout. The next, you put on a defensive masterpiece, showing that you can win in multiple ways against the top 2 teams, quote unquote, in your said conference. And now you're tied for the lead with the best record in said conference. I feel they deserve to be there. So the Titans will be 4 for me, and the Dallas Cowboys can stay at 5.
All right, I guess I'll go next since I also had my list last week. Of course, number 1 is the Cardinals. Again, no reason to move them. Rams were my number 2. No reason to move them. I believe I put the Ravens at 3. They're all the way out. Buccaneers up to 3. Honestly, the Buccaneers have a shot for 2, but the Rams head-to-head win. I'm going to keep them at 2. And then this is where it gets – this it's just so jumbled up for me. I like the point that Gannon made. I think if the Packers were healthy, the Packers would have a chance. But the Packers without Adams, the Packers without Lazard, who's quickly become their number 2 receiving option, they're not a top 5 team to me. I'm sorry about it. And I like what Gannon says about the Cowboys. He's given them their due. I don't think the Cowboys' style of winning right now is sustainable, quite frankly. It hinges on the defense forcing a lot of turnovers. I don't think it's a sustainable winning method. My number 4, a little bit of a hot take at the moment, the Cincinnati Bengals, all right? I really respect what Tennessee's done the last 2 weeks. The win against Buffalo, again, I thought that game could have gone either way, and it came down to a Josh Allen slip. But people forget, they beat the Chiefs by 24 this week. Cincinnati went into Baltimore, beat them by 24, a team that we had number 2, number 3 in the league last week. So impressive. And plays and their play style that I thought was not sustainable, quite frankly, has been. And I like the fact that their inexplicable loss was week two to the Bears, who I believe are better than the Jets. Why I have them over the Titans at this point in time. And it's really between the Titans and Bills for me. At that number five spot, I think I lean to Bills. I think the Bills are a better team. No offense to the Titans whatsoever. Two very good football teams. I'm going to put the Bills there. But this is very subject to change. It'll change basically based on my mood. And I think I have a little bit of a bias because of how upset I was watching the Titans game. I didn't get to give them their full due against the Chiefs. I was upset when the Bills beat them too, and I wasn't high on the Bills. Yeah, and the Bills won, actually, I think.
In Arrowhead and embarrassed the Chiefs on Sunday night.
Yeah, and they made us sit through a rain delay too just to watch us get our butts kicked in the second half still. But I do. I've got the Bills there. I think you can flip a coin between the two. But so many good teams left off again. But yeah, that's my all top right, so five.
It's tough.
1, 2, and 3, we all the same. Cardinals, Rams, Bucks. I'm going against the grain and sticking the Bills at 4. I think they've got some impressive wins, and I think the Bengals, although record-wise and win-wise and how they've won some games and the fashion that they've won them, are a good team. I think once they cross over and start playing the AFC games, they might, you know, drop a few and then show some light on that. I mean, division games – I mean, you already know those, especially in that division and that region of the United States where weather actually plays a major difference in those stadiums. I mean, anything can happen for them. I'm not going to be like Gannon. I'm going to be like, you know, the college football playoff and the AP polls. We don't care if you don't play. You still can get dropped in the poll. The Cowboys... I don't care that they had a bye week. They're not 5 no more. I'll stick the Bengals at 5. I do think the Bills have impressed a little more. Again, they got a win on the Chiefs against the resume, and not just a win, but a dominant win in prime time where you could have gone into that lightning delay and been like every other team that's had a lead in Arrowhead and just crumbled to pieces. So I think that win – and I guess kind of getting their revenge is a pretty significant win. I do think, again, division games for all of them is going to matter. Now, they've got it a little easier than the Bengals, but I'm putting the Bengals at 5. I think the NFL is set up to – I don't want to say set up because it sounds like they are – scripting things, but I think this year is the first year in a while where all across the board you're going to have divisional games meaning a lot, which I as a fan like, because divisional teams actually don't like each other. And instead of having the for instance the Chiefs, instead of them having to go out and win two important games against the Packers and the Cowboys, now they need to win out the division to go to the playoffs. And I, as a Broncos fan, I like that because with our defense, we might actually have a chance. The offense, we're not going to talk about it because I can basically go out there and put up more points and stats to half the people out there. Noah Fant, I'm talking to you. You're a first-round draft pick. You ain't made nobody miss since you was in college. People just tripping you all over the place. If you need, you know, how to get sticky, just call me up, DM me on Twitter. I tweeted at you a couple times. I know you'll find it.
Oh, my God.
But I enjoy the fact that it'll be divisional games that are going to determine a lot of the seeding and the playoffs. I, as a fan, think that is a very smart play by the NFL.
You're telling me my team is playing in the AFC South Championship in 5 days. So
this man Monte had to get a revenge session in there at the end.
Bro, I've been tweeting. I've been tweeting at all.
I'm nervous. Even with the last couple of wins, like the Colts, and we always drop games to the Colts, so I'm nervous for Sunday.
That'll be a good one, though. That'll be a good one.
Yeah. It's going to be one of the best games of the day, seeing how the freaking Jets are going to play this team, and so and the freaking Lions are playing so-and-so, and this and that.
Yeah. Sunday night game of the year, though.
Cowboys and Vikings think it'll be the Sunday night game of the year. I highly doubt that.
I hope not.
You realize in 2 weeks it's Titans Rams, so I'd hope that would be at least a better game.
I was hoping this game would bring the group together. I see it's torn us more apart. I thought Gannon's hatred for the Cowboys mixed with Connor's secret love for the Vikings would help unify us, but I see it's driven a wedge through the group.
I'm definitely rooting for the Vikings. Let's keep it a stack. I don't ever have to say anything about the Cowboys in regards to our rankings ever again.
Yep. Dak Prescott for comeback player of the year.
Listen, you should have moved him down. Should have been like all the college people. Just because you don't play, you ain't safe.
Yeah. We're biased voters.
All right. Well, with our biasing, we will that will do it with our biased opinions and all. For this NFL Week 7 wrap-up. Definitely another entertaining week. Still, even with all these poor teams playing against each other or playing against these good teams, still very, very important games coming up next week. Like I said already, my team's playing essentially for their division already in Week 8, so you'll have that on the line. Some teams look to move up and down. We'll see what Aaron Rodgers can do with his limited offense on Thursday night against the best team in football right now. So I want to thank you guys for listening on this Halloween-themed spooky Sports Resort episode. You guys have a great one. Stay tuned. Also, we'll probably have some baseball and possibly some hockey episodes in the near future. Like and subscribe to the YouTube page. You guys have a good one. We'll